You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We are expected to have Nate Taylor stop by in just a couple of minutes. He will join us in studio, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Certainly want to ask him about what he saw on Sunday night, but some of the bigger picture items that we've been discussing the first 2 days or so here of the week, you know, where this organization moves going forward. You know, does he think there are staff changes that would be needed? Does he think they would do those? The contracts of a lot of players are fascinating heading into 2026. And we'll also just get into the rest of the AFC, including the news of the day in the AFC, which is, if you're just tuning in for the first time and haven't seen some of the updates, Phillip Rivers, yes, Phillip Rivers, the 44-year-old, has been signed by the Colts to their practice squad. With all these QB injuries, they're trying to continue their playoff push. There's a real chance Phillip Rivers starts an NFL game in the next week or so for the Colts. And then you were telling me during the break, JJ Watt, who of course works for CBS now and does calls games for them, he was in a production meeting because he's getting ready for the Colts game this weekend. He's, I think, going to be part of the broadcast. And what did he say? He said that Phillip Rivers, who's a high school football coach, talks with Shane Steichen on a weekly basis already, and they run the same offense on his high school team as the offense that he's supposed to run.
He said he's been talking to Steichen about how to run the different plays. They run the identical offense for his son's high school kid, Gunner.
So he knows the offense is what you're saying.
Of all things. What an interesting fact from J.J. Watt. And the fact that he was regular. Look, Shane Steichen was his offensive coordinator for the Chargers. So, like, they've got a long familiarity with each other. And I imagine Steichen, based on the timing, maybe was close. Was he around? No, he's newer than that. He wasn't his coach for the Colts, but he's at least familiar with the scheme and obviously very close with him as a coach in general. But he's been running the same scheme? Look, I'm sure they dumbed it down a little for the high school football team. But if he's talking to the guy every week about football, he still absorbs it, still paying attention to the game. I weirdly think this is going to work okay. I'm not here to tell you it's going to be great, but I think Phillip Rivers will show up at a random football game this year and, you know, complete 59% of his passes for 212 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
I think we'll get our video stream up and running, too. Again, you can subscribe on Facebook and YouTube. I think, Drew, when we were talking earlier, all three of us, about the Phillip Rivers thing and the Colts, and I think last week all three of us were like, yeah, they're probably not going to win more than a game. With Phillip Rivers, I'm kind of with you.
You think they might win two?
And I think two's all they really need. They're going to lose probably Sunday to Seattle anyway. I don't care who's starting. It's also just way too quick of a turnaround for Phillip Rivers, in my opinion. But that Monday night game against the Niners, could they beat them at home with Phillip Rivers as the quarterback? I think the answer is yes.
I think it's so weird because
With Riley Leonard, they're not. I'll tell you that.
No chance. The way that Adam Schefter put it, which is true, also just sounds so silly because, yeah, of course, which is, they said, before the Colts can determine how soon Phillip Rivers can play, they have to see how he feels and practices Wednesday and Thursday. But there is this, he ran this entire career, he ran this offense his entire career, so it's expected to be more of a physical question than a mental one, like, yeah, can a 44-year-old who hasn't been hit by it, Phillip Rivers is 44, he hasn't played football in 5 years, and he's getting ready to get hit by some 24-year-old who doesn't even remember when Phillip Rivers played. Like, you know, like, he doesn't even remember him being in the NFL practically. Is the way it is. So we'll see how it goes. It is.
He's not going to get up off the ground in one of the hits, though, is the problem.
That's why I called it elder abuse earlier. But it's a rest, man. He might die.
If they can find a way to protect him, he can execute the offense. He can absolutely execute the offense. And you got nothing to lose. You had a season in which you were trending towards easily, we thought at one point in time, being divisional champs and one of the teams with the best record in football, and now you're in danger of missing the playoffs. So why not take a shot? They're desperate. And as that one tweet we read earlier, it's like a movie plot, and the owner will be played by Sandra Bullock at some point in time down the road. And
somehow Phillip Rivers will still be played by Dennis Quaid. It's yeah. just like the rookie. He's now Phillip Rivers.
And I don't
instead.
Know who's playing Chris Ballard, but somebody will, and Sandra Bullock will look over towards Chris Ballard and say, what about that Phillip Rivers guy we used to have around here? And his eyebrow will raise, and then boom, they'll bring in Phillip Rivers, and they have. That's what's going to happen. You might have heard Nate Taylor's laugh in the background. He's getting set up. He's going to join us. We'll ask him about this, and then we'll get into some Chiefs football, of course. Plenty to talk to him about. What do you make, Nate? Good to have you in studio. What do you make of the Colts? And do you agree with us? We're kind of saying, like, I actually think they could find a way to win a game or two to get in the postseason with him. Or do you think this is just, no, come on.
He's not way worse than Daniel Jones, is he?
This is hilarious. No. No, what are we doing? No.
I think one hit might kill him, though. That's the biggest problem.
No one remembers this. No one should remember this, but I do, okay? It was the Super Wild Card weekend on a Monday in good old Tampa Bay. And Tom Brady saw Micah Parsons and said, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to get hit. Phillip Rivers hasn't been hit in how long? Sir, they hit you. They hit you hard. They're not trying to protect you.
No, some 24-year-old. Someone 20 years younger than you.
What? No. Like, God bless her. I love Carly. Love Carly. Please, somebody get this to Carly. No. Carly, you can't. As much as you have been, as much as has been reported by my good friend Stephen Holder, as much as you've been very public and outspoken and obviously wanting to learn. You've really taken the ownership role in the ways that most fans want you to do. You are active. You are interested. You are engaged. You cannot let Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard, for the love and respect I have for both of them, you cannot sign off on this.
Why not?
You can't.
Riley Leonard or Brett Rypien or Tyler Warren as your emergency quarterback. I mean, what do you got to lose?
He's going to get hurt. I mean, he has a family. How old is he again, Cody?
44.
What are we doing?
His grandkid can watch him play.
No.
Next month.
I mean,
he's got a grandkid.
Carly, no. A goat?
By the way, do you know what your wife would say to you if you tried to do something
no,
like this?
Like, no.
Let's just say you and I, Nate, tried to go join a tackle football league for men. Over the age, over of, our age.
Hey, on behalf
and if I said, hey, I'm going to go play a tackle football game, she'd be like,
on behalf,
to hell you are. Here's the divorce papers.
To Emma, as a friend, you cannot let Cody do this. You just, like, what are the text threads right now in the women's group chat? I mean, how many kids does he have again?
10. He's got him 23-1. He's got 7 teammates.
Philip.
Younger than his oldest kid, they say.
Philip, come on now. I mean, this is a dream scenario. I do love the movie script. But he's going to get hit.
Yes, he will.
He's going to get hit. And it's not going to feel well. It's just, no. Carly, no. Don't, not like this.
He just misses it, man. Some of these kids don't remember him playing.
You miss the playoffs. You decide. They're going to lose out, or they're going to bring in Rivers and he'll find a way to salvage a win.
I don't care who you sign. It's over. Okay? And...
I think they should just lose and try to improve their second round draft pick.
I mean, seasons
get lost sometimes.
Guys,
you lose your starting quarterback.
They were 8-2 at one point, or 8-3.
They'd be the first team in NFL history to miss.
Right.
They'd be the first team in NFL history to miss the playoffs after starting 8-2.
There you go.
I understand the embarrassment of it, and I know that they gave up picks for Sauce Gardner.
That's the other.
Also hurt.
But like,
yes.
DeForest Buckner also hurt.
I think it's a mistake sometimes, and I think teams make this. And I'm not saying like as a coach and the people you are coaching have to treat it this way, but as a front office, at some point, You have to cry uncle. You have to tap out. Like, you have to understand the position you're in.
But they're not jeopardizing their... I agree with your point normally, but by bringing in Phillip Rivers, no matter how crazy it sounds, and we all recognize how odd this is, it's not jeopardizing your future. Yes, yes, someone could say, well, losing out... It's the same thing we get texts with Chiefs fans. Well, they should just lose out. That's just not how organizations operate.
Correct.
So...
You would not do that at your job. You know, vice versa. If you were whatever your,
I mean, if I knew I was quitting, I might. Okay.
Of course, Cody goes straight to. Well, I mean, if I resign,
I got till the end of February, the show's over.
I mean, guys, I'm on a 1-year deal. So
someone on social asked, they responded. I said, "Hey, Nate's in studio," and they said, "How about?" I said, "Is the Chiefs?" What I posted on at the beginning of the show is Nate Taylor's going to join us in studio, and we talk about whether the end of this dynasty is over. At this part of the dynasty is over, and someone says, why don't you tell me when this show is over? And I said, they don't tell me that.
Oh,
you have to ask somebody else, man.
Sir, unnecessary. Or ma'am. Ma'am, unnecessary. Like, look.
I hope your job is over soon, too, sir. I hope so.
Well, let's not. Turn the other cheek, my good sir. look, the best part in all of this is, to your point, Alex, they are not really sacrificing anything because Phillip Rivers will come in. He will gladly take that check for the minimum. He will be as big of a rallying cry gimmick mascot as you want him to be. He basically is. And I think my spidey senses are tingling. Hey, man, I know you got 10 kids at home. I know the wife has somehow signed off on this. You trying to get into coaching?
What's tingling?
My spidey senses. Here's my tonsil, I guess. Go ahead and tickle it. Yeah, that too.
No,
boy,
they.
Boy, it, boy, like, that first half. He my already coaches. Were dry.
He already coaches. Think about it. The gagged is what we originally know. Different kind. Yep. He already coaches high school football.
Correct.
And apparently now, according to JJ Watt, text every single week about how to operate the offense with Shane Steichen. I think it's not even like at this point, I don't think it's a closely guarded secret. I think it's fairly obvious he wants to coach.
Hey, man, you want to be a quarterback coach next year? Because, again, you know, again, these aren't like, whoa, you know.
Colts organization hired Jeff Saturday. You can't tell me they can't bring in Phillip Rivers for
that's all. But all this screams to me is I miss it. I still can sling it. I have forgotten what it feels like to get hit and to wake up the next morning after a football game. And I would love to come back and coach. I'd love to be in the locker room. I'd love to galvanize the guys. I'd love to be – you know, a vessel, an instrument, a tool for the organization. You know, he led them to the postseason when he was in uniform. And they had a very good season with him in a way that sort of, again, kind of stabilized the franchise at a, you know, precarious time, you know, post-Andrew Luck retirement. So I understand why he's wanting to do this. I just don't think from a football logic organizational standpoint, and somebody's made this point, like, you got to tell Russell Wilson to just like, hey, man, throw everything, throw desk, say something mean about somebody's mama.
Get cut.
Do something. Do anything to get cut so that we can bring you aboard. Ask nicely.
So you can just go run play action with Jonathan Taylor.
I could throw moon balls to Alec Pierce and to
it's a good fit for
Michael Pittman Jr. Like, I'm not the first person to say this, but like, Russell Wilson is still a capable quarterback in today's NFL. I have no data point to suggest that Phillip Rivers at age 44, whose arm might fall off tomorrow because he worked out yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him, but no, Phillip, no. I mean, Carly, how can you sign off on this? How?
Let's talk about the Chiefs a little bit because we all declared that the season wasn't going to continue. As in, look, and there, I understand there's still a statistical outside chance. We don't have to discuss that at the moment.
Okay.
Alex and I both think just based on where the roster is, not just because they had one bad year, which is clearly what's happening here, amongst three Super Bowl trips before, but because of where the roster is, the turnover that's going to have to occur, the people who are under contract, the contracts that will expire within a year outside after this one. This feels like the natural end of Dynasty 1. I hope they have Dynasty 2 or another run. And I know that it's premature to actually call it, because if they went back and won the Super Bowl next year, then fine. But
right.
I don't think the roster will be in position to do that.
Yeah.
This is tough. I don't think it's necessarily fair to say the dynasty is over. And I do understand that, like, we are in direct comparison to what the Patriots did for 20 years, which is, I want to just remind the audience, extremely unprecedented.
Yeah, it's only happened that one time.
Like, you just can't. The coach and the quarterback met at the perfect time to do something that had never been done in the history of this league. Okay. Now, they tinkered. They mixed and matched. Personnel people left. Coordinators left, of course. Receivers left. This year is confounding to me because they never got blown out by anybody. Nope. It's ironic that their biggest loss of the season was just Sunday. Yeah. Because their coach put them in a pretty difficult situation. It backfired on him. And so, in essence, you now have to chase points, and then that backfires on you. And so you gifted the other team 10 points when they had no business scoring 10 points in the second half when you were, in essence, dominating on defense. You know, if you could tell me, I'm more or less not concerned with the roster, as strange as that might sound to the audience. I'm more fascinated as to how this coaching staff finds improvement within itself for next season, right? So whether they win Sunday against the Chargers, that will extend their season. That'll be great. It'll keep us talking about the actual play on the field, the actual play calls, all that. But I know a lot of people have suggested, like, Andy's going to, like, have to change up the coaching style and the staff and maybe the
he didn't usually do it for 1 year.
I know, and I think that's what's most confining to me is, like, I'm more interested in leadership than players at this point.
Can I ask, so, like, the Andy, I'm not asking him to change his whole staff.
Because if the coaching doesn't, by the way, if the coaching doesn't improve, then I would agree with the dynasty saying, being over. This era being a wrap.
That's the concern. If it's just, hey, we had some bad breaks this year and we were that close and that, and it's basically what we hear at the press conference is that if that is truly their view heading into the offseason, that, hey, look, you know, we got to clean it up. if that's the vibe heading into the offseason, then I think we're going to be sitting here next year. Maybe they're not 6-7 at this point,
correct,
but maybe they're a fringe wild card team again, and maybe they're in a better spot, but are they competing to win the division again if they roll back the exact same staff and they don't actually think they did anything wrong, basically, as a staff this year?
Can I do something, Nate, to get, like, because this is the part where people change, and this is where I give Andy a ton of credit. He's a great coach because he's been willing to adapt to the league, and his offense goes from big play threat to chip. I thought what he said on Monday is the dumbest thing he has said as a head coach this entire time.
Uh-oh.
Because his stance on fourth down being, I just do it when I feel like it, with no rhyme or reason or thought or care or concern, is idiotic.
Mm.
And I think Andy's a genius.
All, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you I don't go through it. The one we went for, I felt real good about. And the one we didn't go for, I wasn't feeling it. So, listen, we had a productive play there, or the chance for a productive play, and we got to make sure that we take care of business there. So,
Nate, the issue is that what Andy said there actually reflects exactly how he's handled fourth downs every single second he's been here. Which is, it doesn't seem, he's always like, I've always been aggressive. Not true. He goes for it less than most.
Not true at all.
And then this year he was more aggressive, and then he just stopped. And then now game to game, he's back to what he usually does, which is just, if in the moment, He just feels like going for it, he goes for it. And if in the moment he doesn't feel like going for it, like just his gut tells him, that's a crazy way to operate on fourth down. He has a system for every, he probably uses the same color marker for when he highlights something in a playbook. He's got a system for everything except for fourth down, in which he just goes with vibes.
And again, Mike Frazier, you know, the Chiefs analytics, you know, has been really good about being situationally prepared. Obviously, the Chiefs know exactly what they want to do for overtime games, which they've executed at a high level.
Great at that. Understand that part.
You know, on down and distances in red zone, third down, like Mike Frazier's pretty key and essential to what the Chiefs have tried to do. But it does come down to the head coach's decision. I think with these last two games, to your point, Cody, illustrate is a coach who doesn't have the proper feel.
He doesn't have a plan.
For this particular group of players. Because I mean, the advanced stats say that it was, what, the second most cowardly punt for him to punt the ball
against Dallas
to the Cowboys on fourth and four from the 44, the second most cowardly punt of the season. And then, you know, in a knockout,
two times in that game.
In a knockdown, drag out where the conditions are not optimal, right? You're not in a dome. It's cold weather, it's windy.
Your defense is dominating.
It's a defensive struggle, which you sort of understood and prepared your team for. You know, your team has obviously showed life in the second half, rallying from a 10-point deficit. I mean, he ultimately showed his hand and his desperation in that moment and looked at his quarterback and basically said, okay.
Give me a yard.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go for it. And then...
And, like, the play call was worse than even the going for
correct.
It. Because the empty set thing, we all talked about that. Yes. That's just not wise.
Yes.
You got to tempt him with Kareem Hunt, even if you're not going to give it to him.
Right. And then, again, because you make a poor decision that you've never made before in your career as a coach, right?
Yeah.
The data point is 27 years, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Reid had never before Sunday's game, in a tie game with 10 minutes or less in the fourth quarter, or overtime, with his team not past its own 40-yard line, let his team go for it on fourth and anything, let alone fourth and one. He had never done that. And so it reeks of desperation in a sense. It reeks of trying to get your quarterback to do something heroic, right? But it's also not recognizing the feel for the game, the game script. Hey, this is a clear, old-school 1990s cold weather, like 3 yards at a time, who can make a big play, field position.
Let's just not screw up. Let's let them screw up.
Correct. Yeah. Like, can we get our kicker in a field goal range versus their kicker in a field goal range? Like, you know, all those things have been playing out, and he went against it. And it's just, for whatever reason this year, and I don't know the exact answer for it, and I'm wondering if they're struggling to find the answers too within their own team facility, Andy has just not been as sharp himself as he has been throughout the course of this dynasty. And that's got to be one of the more destabilizing sort of, like, you know, perplexing parts of all this is, again, I am more focused on the coaching staff because the coaching staff gave them such advantages for so long. And now you're struggling to find any advantage on a down-to-down basis from a coaching standpoint.
Ton of Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. You were in the locker room after the game as well. And we were talking yesterday about what was so noticeable right when we walked in. I think we all, I mean, I don't know how everybody didn't notice it immediately. And that is number 87's locker there. Kind of at the end, right? For anybody who hasn't been in there, his is obviously there's the wide receivers and there's the tight end group. And Kelsey's is the one all the way down. He's sitting in a uniform, just staring, you know, blankly, you know, whatever's going through his mind. That moment right there, I don't know how you don't watch that and also watch some of the TV shots and think that this is definitely it this year for him. Did you get the same vibes or no?
In addition to everything you just described, Alex, did you see Patrick's reaction in the locker room?
Towel over his head?
Correct.
Yep.
These guys' lockers are directly across from one another.
They're just not used to losing, too.
Very true.
Travis Kelce's been in the playoffs pretty much every year. Mahomes. In the AFC title game every year.
Every year.
Or Super Bowl.
So now we're getting into speculation territory, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to be clear. There was it's a funeral.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
And everybody knows it in the locker room, it felt like.
And if people weren't there, I went to Mr. Gold and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, this is why they pay us right here, right? Even though we're going to ask Travis, as you know, professional as we can, he's going to decline us. That is his prerogative. I think you were in there. I was with probably Patrick at the podium, but you know, you guys asked him a second time. He declined a second time. Can't wait to turn on that podcast tomorrow morning.
Right.
If he does retire, that's a scene in the story. And it's pretty high in the story too, guys.
It's hard to like, because, and this is how it often goes with great athletes, is that you don't get to go out feeling your best. You have to, and look, last year, that was a crappy way to go out, but you were a two-time Super Bowl winner and then a Super Bowl loser. It's like, could go out worse.
Yep.
But it could be worse. But I do have a hard time. He's playing at such a high level. I feel like for him, it's like you win. I feel like this is one of the hardest off seasons he's ever put in. He did everything to get back.
Right. He did everything right.
To get back to the kind of player he was. And honestly, he's been a very good tight end, other than the three drops that have led to devastating, crucial moments.
Big
moments. He's been pretty good. Better than most tight ends in the NFL.
Correct. I think, again, there's a dichotomy. There's a juxtaposition with Travis Kelce within this whole season. On top of a season that, again, has to be like mind-boggling for Chiefs fans. So I get it, right? Travis Kelce, your tight end that will directly go from retirement to Canton, Ohio, the moment he is eligible to do that. Guys, this wasn't how it was supposed to go. Yet again, Travis Kelce, 83 targets for a 36-year-old tight end. What are we doing? Ladies and gentlemen, your tight end, who has played every game, who has played more snaps than anyone else that matters from a skill position standpoint, has 83 targets, 60 receptions. He will likely lead the team in yards. He has 727 yards. He has 5 touchdowns, which is tied for the lead. He has 9 big plays, which is receptions of 20 yards or more, which, again, leads the team. He has not fumbled this season. His yards after the catch are still better than anybody else on the team. Hey, Nate, tell me how many first downs he's gained by reception. He leads the team by anyone else.
I'm shocked.
37 receptions that have resulted in a first down. And here comes the bad part, guys. He can't keep living like this. He cannot. It's awful that they put him in this position because Travis Kelce had 2 drops against the Texans. As I put on Twitter after the game, which is through ESPN Research, which is through a ton of data, this is the first time, and again, this is quite literally on the coaching staff. Hey, he can't keep living like this, but by the way, he is definitely your easiest button. How the hell can you not scheme up a play for this man where he only gets 1 reception in the game? How?
Yeah, I want to talk more about that on the other side with Nate. More about that in this wide receiver room and Rashee Rice, the rest of the receivers, and look ahead a little bit just to the rest of what could be a very interesting offseason, though, for Kansas City. That's coming up right
now. You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're on Cody and Gold. Nate, can I ask you about one play and whether or not it's like just a thing in the moment that I should care about, or just a real concern about offensive confidence and what they're doing right now? Did you see the look Patrick Mahomes made when that shotgun run on 4th-and-1 came in? He couldn't help himself. You know, some of us just can't do it. He made a face like something stank when that fourth run. He still ran it. He didn't like. He didn't call an audible. He ran it, but that play barely worked.
He is I don't think people appreciate him enough. I'm dead serious, man. I know people are like, well, Patrick's the problem too, and I'm like, hey, man, where would Tyquan Thornton like the ball? Would you like it right here? I know this is not a visual medium, but like my hands are.
My hands are
right here. Hey, Rashee Rice, where would you like it? Would you a little further down, a little further up? Where would you like it?
The only one I'll say was the Kelce one. That pass was behind Kelce. That's still part of hands.
Right.
But I agree with you.
But like, it's still in the hole. It's still in the hole within the zone. Sometimes you're placing the ball where you want your teammate to be. It might be off a little bit. I mean, again, you've been pressured. You've been dinged up too. I am going back and I'm finding it, Cody. So by the way.
I mean, just look at the look on his face. He makes a visual face of disgust. So, I don't know if like something just happened else to make that face, but it was like right after the call went in.
Was it great? It's massive stank face. It's just like, come on, man.
You're not like that call.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, we're going to go for it. And he's like, all right, cool. If you need a audio version of this, ladies and gentlemen, he scrambles again because the play call was boo-boo. Nobody's hoping to get some man coverage in the red zone. So he's like, you know what? Take matters in my own hands. I'll get us down to the 2-yard line. It is 4th-and-1 from the 2-yard line. He gets up again. He got hit. He's kind of like hobbling, and he's like, nope, we're definitely going for it. He's like, great, hallelujah. You know, I know what the scoreboard is. You know, 10-0, we got to score here. Okay, here we go, coach. What's the play? And he looks at his sheet. He finds it. Oh.
He doesn't like it.
Again, don't sue me, YouTube TV, but here it is, kids. Woo, that's bad.
I genuinely think he did not like the call. Oh,
it's so bad.
So
and by the way, shout out to NBC's camera work. They go directly from Andy Reid, who you can see, you can't read his lips, but you can see his lips moving. Dot, dot, dot. This is the play call. And then they immediately cut to Patrick, and he goes, no way, man. No way. I'm a professional. Okay. All right. Trust the coach. It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. All right, fellas. Another shotgun run. Ready? Break.
The wide receivers on this team, we were discussing earlier, you know,
it's so bad. seven.
It is a unit in which if the defense is not playing zone coverage yet again, who is able to win in man-to-man coverage? And Rashee Rice is Mr. Yards after the catch, but is he the guy that on a third down you've been able to count on? Absolutely not. Xavier Worthy, I know he's hurt, and I think that is a huge part of the equation this year, and people will learn even more how hurt he is maybe at the end of the year with other things. But, like, he's not even sometimes, I think, running wide. Like, it's gadgety. Like, they're not even sometimes letting him run, you know, wide receiver, like actual wide receiver routes.
They let him run real routes
the last couple weeks.
Occasionally. And to his credit, it has worked.
It has. But don't they need Rashee Rice is the biggest receiver on the field. Don't they need, and this is an Andy Reid, Brett Veach thing for years, but a wide receiver, I'm not saying to clone DK Metcalf, but
it'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
they need a different style.
6'3", 220.
And a go-getter.
And someone that's going to go and be physical and get the freaking football. Yep.
They need a go-getter. They're simple as that. And Rashee Rice is their best option. Now, I'm going to say something that has been percolating in conversations, right? So I'm letting you guys hear this. For me, publicly for the first time, right? Because, again, ladies and gentlemen, they have to win on Sunday to keep their season alive. If you know your best route runner from a skill set, just a pure skill set, is either A, Hollywood Brown, or B, when healthy. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we hadn't seen him healthy all season. Well, we saw him healthy on the third play of the game and third play of the season. It didn't go well. Yeah. Is Xavier Worthy. Those are your two best route runners. Okay, cool. We've seen it before where Hollywood Brown can beat man coverage and beat zone coverage on intermediate routes, deep overs, corners, things of this nature, right? Xavier Worthy had a very good two-route combination in the game. Now, his issue has been, when you're not the primary receiver, you have certain tendencies that suggest
what the play is.
Yes. let alone you're hurt, okay? So we get it. You're hurt. You're trying. You're a tough guy. No one in this city should question Xavier Worthy's toughness. Now we get to the main problem. Hey, man, you're suspended because it's your fault. Hey, man, the offense was kind of all over the place because you weren't around for the first 6 weeks, okay? You came back. They got you in the mix. And then the Buffalo Bills straight up asked you, you ready to beat man coverage? And then the Denver Broncos asked you the next week, straight up, hey, bro, you ready to beat man coverage? Okay. Now, any team with any pulse is going to say, hey, man, that's Derek Stingley. You ready to beat man coverage? It has become apparent that although he can create space, although he does have a good telepathic sense for what Patrick likes, especially when he scrambles, he does not give good effort when it's man-to-man, period. His effort is lacking when the play call is man-to-man or when there's a safety over the top that suggests, hey, man, I exist. You're their number one receiver, right? This is what Justin Jefferson gets. This is what Chase gets. Hey, man, you want to be the number one receiver, right? Hey, I'm a safety. I'm over the top.
You're going to have to work inside of that.
Yeah. Can you beat me? It's one-on-one. You want to give good effort? Hey, man, I know the play's not necessarily for you, but, how am I giving more effort than you? Oh, and by the way, your quarterback scrambles, and God bless you, kind of threw you a hospital ball. Thank the Lord you got up. Watch the tape after that, boys and girls. It's horrid. Now, I don't know. We have not heard any signs of concussion.
Was he impacted by the hit? Who knows?
I'm just saying concussion, symptoms. Rocked. He got rocked. Totally. And he was not the same player. Yeah. Even though you're supposed to be the toughest receiver based on your size, your skill set. And not only did they hit you and then they said, hey, man, guess what we're going to do? We're going to hit you again because it's man coverage and we're challenging you. This ain't no zone no more. Beat us against man. And guys, Patrick has done a lot of things for him that have been to his benefit. I just want to remind you that in the games that they have lost, where he's been on the field too, the Bills put out seven DBs and said, hey, man, go beat man-to-man coverage. Do it. Do it. His biggest play was on that fourth down where they break and contain, it's zone coverage, and Patrick throws him the ball, and he catches it, and he's a great job. That's his one highlight against the Broncos. Hey, man, we're in the two-minute drill right before halftime. You know what? I'm going to put it right on a dime. That's a dot with me scrambling. He drops a football near the boundary where you could have given Harrison Butker a chance for a last-second field goal before halftime. Obviously, hey, man, they're kind of playing a version of match coverage that kind of feels like zone, but it's not traditionally zone, this being the Cowboys. It's third down. We got to score a touchdown because we see how our defense is playing today. He drops it. And, of course, hey, man, that's Derek Stingley. It's man-to-man coverage. Mahomes is going to put it on you. You going to catch it? Nope. Okay. But you're our biggest receiver, and you're supposed to box him out on that fourth and one and kind of rescue your play caller because you're their biggest and best receiver, and that's their biggest and best cornerback. Mahomes is delivering the ball. You going to catch it? No. Okay, fine. You know what? Now we're chasing points. It's fourth and four. They actually called a pretty good play, fourth and four-wise. Hey, you adjusted to your quarterback. Hey, you actually adjusted while he moved in the pocket. You adjusted away from the defender who was basically being match man coverage. You going to catch it? He can catch it. So that's the book. He does not give great effort. He is not consistent against man coverage. Everybody knows it.
Wait, if you look at this team now, I think people, because when you have Patrick Mahomes first season, you miss the playoffs. Let's say hypothetically they do, because it's barreling towards that. If you have Patrick Mahomes in a season, you miss the playoffs. Most people would say, well, then you should take a very good, long, hard look in the mirror and understand where you flowed. What's the biggest conceivable thing you think they'd even change coaching staff-wise? Because I don't think it's offensive coordinator. Sure as hell shouldn't be defensive coordinator. Wide receivers coach?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Tobe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, what's the level of change you would even anticipate being plausible in an offseason for the Chiefs if they miss the playoffs?
Plausible. Plausible might be Dave Tobe. Plausible might be, I don't know if he'd be fired, but like a different role for Matt Nagy, perhaps. Because again, I think Mike Kafka
could come back.
Is in the wings, kids. He's in the wings. I was
a Mike McDaniel guy. I feel like he's going to keep his job in Miami.
And that's a problem because they're going to have a favorable schedule. If they beat the Steelers on Monday night, ooh, okay, 7-7. What the world?
I just think he's a good coach.
He's a very good coach, and he's actually adjusted to his players. Despite not having Tyreek Hill, right, yeah. Which is what you want your coach to do. Like, hey, find a way for your players to get in favorable positions, down to distances, circumstances. Even if you don't have your best players, you still have to coach the guys that you have on your roster. I don't have a – if I was Connor Embry's defense attorney, what do I have? What do I have?
Other than saying – you just said it, Rashee
Rice. Gotten worse.
He needs to catch the football like that, and he's not giving effort. I guess that would be the only. I'm not defending him.
Again, Connor. What is my defense strategy?
I'm not defending Connor. I'm just saying, like, I guess the only defense possibly you would have is like the players are right there to make the catch, and they're not catching the football in some of these circumstances. But I'm with you.
If I'm the prosecution against Connor Embry, my question to the jury is: hey, man, seemed that like Xavier Worthy literally took off the moment DeAndre Hopkins joined the team. Now he's not on the team. But was he the best receivers coach last year, production-wise?
And the defense would say, I don't know if you know, but Xavier Worthy has a bad ankle and a dislocated shoulder that he's playing with this year.
Is DeAndre Hopkins on the team this year?
I just think the whole wide receiver unit regressed.
Let me, for the record, I've said on the show, I think they need a new wide receiver coach. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I'm on the prosecution, so don't listen to me.
All I'm saying is, I don't, like, I'm saying this on behalf of Connor Embry.
For sure.
I'm not in those meetings.
Yeah.
You could be screaming at them. You could be telling them God knows what. I know you're a professional coach. I don't have a defense for you. And if you call me for your defense attorney, I don't know.
I don't have it.
I don't know.
He would be an easy person, by the way. If you're telling me that there's really not going to be much staff change, that's we're talking about a wide receiver coach. It's a very easy position to move on from.
Another question from the prosecution. Sir, you are running the receivers, right? And he would say yes. And I would say,
yes, Your Honor. I'll be him for you. Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't it fasciting that when you didn't have Rashee Rice and you didn't have Xavier Worthy, that you found gold in Tyquan Thornton? Is that fair?
Yes.
Are you not speaking up in the meeting room? Because...
Well, this goes back to a bigger issue we brought up.
How the hell does he have 35 targets? Well, Your Honor, is he healthy?
Plead the fifth.
But Nate, no, but
I don't want to self-incriminate.
But what you just said is also something we've acknowledged with the coaching staff thing. And this is where, is there anybody that's willing to say something and speak up and also will be listened to? And like, by the way, Connor Embry is not the guy that's telling Andy Reid what to do. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Matt Nagy's willing to do that. Nate. That so
I think we found a defense strategy. Yeah. My client doesn't have the right to use his voice.
Well, yeah. Bingo. That could be my, and that applies to multiple people I wonder on staff.
Correct.
Your Honor, so Andy Reid's the head coach.
Real quick. With everything we just got done talking about with the wide receivers and the offense, do you think finally watching the NFL this year, the Chiefs, watching the rest of the league, watching their backfield situation, I know Saquon Barkley is Saquon Barkley. And by no means am I saying, like, how do you not have one of those guys? No, Saquon is that special. However, I watch team after team have running backs that are capable of explosive plays. The chance that there's a little hole where it's an eight-yard run, and they can turn it into 25 or 30. Mm-hmm. They haven't had that in a couple years. Do you think this year has made them realize, well, we're never going to be run first, nor should we? However, we have to be more explosive in the backfield. Okay. And that might cause some other things to be a little bit easier for us in the passing game.
We're not calling for Jeremiah Love, to be clear.
If he were to fall, sure.
Hey.
If he wants to fall quite a bit.
Two things. You are directly on target, Mr. Gold. And my first thing of the two is, hey, if I'm Brett Veach, I have already designated this human being that is in my personnel department. Your job, your only job, is to find me the next running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's it. I don't want to hear reports about anybody else in your region. In fact, you have been now promoted to National Running Back Scout.
Great.
That's your job. Find me the next...
Bucky Irving.
Yes. Find him. And when you find him, then you can come back home, okay? But until you find him, I don't want to see you. The second thing is... And this is from my buddy Ben Solak, who put this article out today.
Yeah,
we were referencing it earlier.
Holy smokes, guys. Mm-hmm. You think it's bad? It's worse. In it, when we say it could be worse, not when it comes to running back production. The 2025 Kansas City Chiefs running backs, who have yet to put out Damian Pierce, by the way, have the lowest explosive rush rate on running back carries among all teams in all seasons since 2000.
I think what bothers me is we all saw this coming. We knew it was a problem, and it was the most running back rich draft in a generation, and they still didn't take one till the seventh. And they won't use him.
And they won't use him. Yes, he has the most juice, and they won't give him the carries to see if the juice is worth the squeeze.
Is there a reason why they won't let him run?
I'm... Again, Your
Honor. Like, he won't give him a handoff?
Your Honor.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, does he play the run? Is there an RB next to his name?
They'll throw to him.
But is that his primary role when he has RB next to his name? Can we hand him the ball? I don't care if it's from under center, under shotgun. I don't care. End arounds, motions, jet sweeps, do it. But, like, can you give him the ball? He has the most juice in your running back room, and yet, again, you have – decided to run RPOs with running backs who no longer have the explosiveness.
Yeah, Pacheco's done.
To make that style of offense work. And again, like I asked Andy Reid earlier this season, how much can you actually change your scheme during the midst of the season? Well, it's not been a lot. They have not gone to
personnel's been pretty much the same, so that's not surprising.
This is the biggest... I don't know why I've gotten into lawyer talk right now, but if I was I was the lawyer for Bill Belichick as to why he's the greatest coach of all time and why Andy Reid is not the greatest coach of all time is, hey, man, halfway through the season, they are a chameleon. He looks at the stats, he changes. And, yes, he had Tom Brady. But if their best running attack was under center, guess what the Patriots would be doing 70% of the time, running the ball from under center.
Nate Taylor, good stuff today, as always, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Appreciate it, man. We keep an eye on ESPN for some more coverage throughout the week as well. That's going to do it for us here on a Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll have Ross Tucker join us, Josh Klingler. We'll hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. We'll also talk a little bit more about something that occurred over the weekend involving the World Cup. We haven't got into that yet today. And so we'll do that. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. The Drive is up next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.